back here on the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And Bravo.
Thanks to all of our patrons, as always, for supporting the show, supporting our community service efforts through your donations to the show. If you're not a patron and you enjoy the show, please consider becoming a patron. Just go to patreon.com and look up the Arms Room Show. Oh, man. We're just going to go straight to Combatives Corner this time. Combatives Corner with Dave. Roll.
All right. Hey, how do you know you're finished?
I'm not talking about sex. Get out of the gutter. I'm talking about a fight.
I'm still on sex. Keep going. Okay, keep going, Dave.
So apparently this is going BDSM.
Oh, my
but
gosh.
I'm unconscious. Oh. Is that the right answer? Hey, and it works for both.
You're unconscious now. It works for both. So how do you know when you're done? It's an important factor to know because we see too many times, whether it's with tools or hand-to-hand, that people are over-aggressive. Not necessarily even because of any kind of vengeance or anger, but more because of the effects of adrenaline, and they just don't have a lot of experience with real violence. So you got to be thinking about that, training for that, and understanding what the cues are that you are done, whether it is the person is in the fetal position or the person runs or any other tool. When you have a moment of opportunity, a window of opportunity to escape effectively, any number of those kinds of aspects. We aren't going to go into them here on the show, but that's something you need to be considering because that is important. As a general rule that we like, is a concept that we teach in all of our courses, it's simply this. When that person has lost the will to fight, I'm done and I need to get out of there. That's Combatives Corner.
What? Combatives Corner with Dave, brought to you by Premier Martial Arts, Scottsdale, and PMA Peoria. All right, right into some good news this week. Ooh, exciting.
Nice.
Search warrant finds Lincoln man impersonating student was texting with young teenage girls. So this happened in Lincoln, Nebraska, which doesn't surprise me. It's fucking Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yep.
26-year-old man pretended to be a Lincoln Public School student and then tried to then hook up with underage girls. So he's 26 years old. He looks super young. And the school is defending their decision to have him as a student. And they were like, hey, yeah, we didn't really vet him. We didn't actually get all of his information. But, hey, he looked like a kid to us is basically what they said. So he said he's 5'4", 120 pounds, and appears to have blended in with other students is how the police assistant chief described it. So the schools were like, they do require both certificates and other proof of identity as well as transcripts and vaccination records. But because of federal laws that protect students experiencing homelessness, the district is legally required to take any student who claims to be under 21 years of age, even if they don't have that documentation. So then this guy's at school trying to hook up with young girls. Again, just like we talked about last week, pay attention to who your kids are talking to. Know your kids' friends. Know who they're communicating with. It is not a violation of your children's privacy to go through their phone. It's not a violation of your children's privacy to read their messages. I'm sorry. I am not new age enough, I guess. It is not a violation when I'm trying to protect my people. I'll also say, like, here's relationship advice with Glenn, all right? I also don't think it's a violation of privacy to go through anybody's phone that I totally trust, like my spouse. I should never be afraid for my spouse to go through my phone or to go through my spouse's phone. That should never be a thing. Like, oh, man, I don't want her to see X. Why?
So she's seen all the stuff I've sent you.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
She laughs, too. We both laugh. It's a good laugh together. Yeah. But yeah. You don't need that big of a cowboy hat, dude. So the point being is don't think that like, oh, well, I have to protect my child's privacy, so I need to, you know, not look at their social. Fuck that.
That's
dude.
Nonsense.
Get apps like Bark that specifically help you to manage your child's, you know, control and access of social media and other apps and things that they're using. I highly recommend the app. It's something we use for our kids. It's a great service called Bark. It's great.
Life 360 is good for tracking them.
Life 360 is good for that. You know, there's all kinds of methods you can use to make sure that your kids are safe in a digital world. We don't live in the world we used to live in. We don't live in the world we grew up in. We live in a digital world now. And there's people like this using that to their advantage. So you need to use it to your advantage to keep them safe. This is always when people are like, well, I don't want to. Okay, so check this out. Like, it's like, you know, the old fuddy-duddy dad who's like, well, I don't understand all these gall darn contraptions. Oh, so you're stupid. What you're telling me is you're stupid. You're too stupid to figure out new things. Okay. Well, then just say, I'm too stupid. That's all you have to say. And then I know what the score is. Or I don't care enough to learn how to use what my kids are using. That's why I'll sit down and play the video games with my kids. I want to see what they're playing. I'll sit down and watch what they're watching. I want to see what they're watching. You know, I'm going to – do I love always doing it? Not really. Is it always something I, quote, unquote, have time for? Not really. But I make time for it because I want to know what my kids are up to. I want to know what they're doing. I don't mind popping into their room unannounced and going, show me your screen. What are you up to? What are you doing?
Yep.
You know? And that's only for our older kids who may have something like a phone – you know, in their room or something, which is very uncommon. Most of the time when they're at home, their phone is with us. But my point being is, like, we have our own specific rules about that stuff. But my point being is, this is the kind of shit that happens, like you said on last week's show, if you're not involved in your kid's life.
Well, and keep in mind, too, that you will get pushback because you will be that parent. I can't even tell you how many times my son would come home and say, well, Johnny's parents or Matt's parents or whatever. Mm. I'm like, I don't care. Like, I think they're being irresponsible, and I'm not responsible for their kids. I'm responsible for you, and so don't be afraid. I mean, you are the parent; mm-hmm. they are the child, and that relationship has to come above and beyond friendship and, you know, their feelings and all of that.
Yeah, so I've told our kids before when they say, well, so-and-so's parents, especially when they're teenagers, they don't pull that shit when they're younger, but when they're older. And I go, that's cool. That's why they're going to end up raped and dead in a dumpster. You're not going to end up raped and dead in a dumpster.
This is 100% true.
Yeah, this is what I say to children. You know, it's like, okay, cool. That's why they're not going to get – that's why they're going to get skull-fucked. You know what skull-fucking is? Okay. Does it seem like something you want to know? Okay. Didn't fucking think so. So that's why they're going to end up skull-fucked. All right. That's why it's going to be a closed casket for them. I use a lot of great things for like that. Yeah, that's why they're going to get taken across seas and fucked to death, which is something I like to tell our daughter all the time when she's fighting me on stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, so you want to get kidnapped and then fucked to death? Oh, that doesn't sound like something you want? Okay, then follow what I say. Because my rules keep you from getting fucked to death. Your friend's rules don't keep her from getting fucked to death.
Yep.
Does that sound like a pleasant death? Okay. Yeah. Again, man, the Glenn Hotline. It's maybe a real thing. The IRS halts most unannounced visits to taxpayers, citing safety concerns. The IRS halted a decades-long practice of unannounced visits to homes or businesses to collect unpaid balances. The decision comes amid safety concerns from IRS employees and taxpayers. Effective immediately, the agency will now make initial contact via mailed letters to schedule in-person meetings.
Good call.
I'll still schedule a meeting with you. I'm going to be over at C2 Tactical. Swing on by. I'm going to be out at this location in the desert. Miles and miles away with no cell phone service. Go ahead and meet me out at these GPS coordinates. That's where I'll meet you.
I keep all of my tax information.
Keep it all in a desert bunker.
In a warehouse.
Yeah. Come on out. Yeah, there's an abandoned warehouse in South Phoenix. That's where I keep all my tax stuff. Go ahead and meet me down there about, I don't know, 1:30 in the morning tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'll be there. Bring a friend if you want. Bring a bunch of friends if you'd like. Bring all the IRS employees if you'd like to.
Go around the back. The back door will be open.
Yeah, back door's going to be propped open. But don't mind, there's going to be dark inside. If the door slams shut behind you, don't be concerned.
Don't worry about the smell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had to butcher an animal.
It's just the last IRS agent who came by and had a meeting with me. He died accidentally at the warehouse.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be concerned about it.
Yeah, I took his skin.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, if you show up and I'm wearing the skin of your former coworker, don't worry about it.
Oh, my gosh.
No big deal.
Have you not seen?
Yes, I have.
Biden administration releases thousands of children infected with tuberculosis into 44 different states.
Oh, yeah, that was a good read.
The Biden administration has released thousands of illegal immigrant children infected with tuberculosis into 44 states without any attempt at treating the children. Close to 2,500 children who have been diagnosed with TB have potentially infected thousands of American children within the last year. The new report revealed that the government says it can't treat the children because they're in custody for a short time and treatment requires 3 to 9 months. So without getting drawn into a conversation here about the problems of illegal immigration, this is one of the big fucking problems with illegal immigration. It's madness. It's absolute freaking madness.
Quite frankly, I would challenge people to come up with reasons why illegal immigration is a good thing.
No.
I see no positives. I see no benefits.
In their push for votes, they will kill you.
Yep.
That's what
you're worth to them.
In their push for votes, they will kill you because they don't care.
Yep.
The government hates you. They hate you, hate you, hate you. They hate you so goddamn much that every fucking rule is against you. Every law is against you. Everything that they make is to rob you of freedom and liberty. That's why I'm going to tell you guys a quick story that fucking just, to me, just summed up how the average American thinks. So Drew and I were in out of state for this training. And there was these guys there talking about, like, they're hunters, they're outdoorsmen. I mean, these are deep wood boys. You know what I mean? They're dang, dang. You know, they are all about it. They fish, they hunt, they live off the land. They're all about it, right? Carry guns, the whole thing, right? And they were talking about, they're like, oh, yeah, man, you know, earlier that we were talking about gun rights, and they were like, the most dangerous places in the states are the ones that have the, you know, the most gun control. And we're all, you know, talking about all these great politics ideas. And then they started talking about some Amish people that lived in the area. And they were like, yeah, these Amish people, they just, you know, they just move into an area, they buy up all the property, and then they just hunt anything they want to, and they just kill all the animals, and they don't follow the rules. And I'm like listening to the whole conversation, like, interesting, right? And they're like, yeah, but then me, you know, a law-abiding citizen, I have to come along, and I have to follow all the rules in order to hunt, blah, 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 on my own land, yada, yada, yada. And I'm listening to the conversation, and then they're like, yeah, man, that's, you know, that's why it really upsets a lot of us around here. And I go, so it sounds to me like the Amish actually get it. And they were like, well, what do you mean? And I go, well, do they own the land? They're like, well, yeah. And I go, then fuck the crown. And they're like, yeah, but we have to follow the rules. I'm like, yeah, whatever. We're going to start a class again. I'm not going to get drawn in this conversation with you. But it's like, what was interesting to me is I'm like, on one hand, you're talking about, but dang, dang, fuck the government. Come take my guns. And on the other side, you're like, but I'll follow the rules about what deer I'm allowed to shoot. Now, I'm not saying go out poaching. I'm not advocating that necessarily. But here's what I am saying. It seems to me, it's very interesting to me that some people want to follow the laws in some regard and then not follow the laws in other regards. And most people's idea of, like, what freedom actually means is just, it's really skewed, man. It's like, well, dude, you.
Yeah, I mean, if you, yeah, I get what you're saying.
No, I'm like, what? So you think, like, you're trying to take the ethical, moral high ground here because you follow the rules?
That were made by a government of people
that hate
made
you.
Up. Well, and I mean,
they hate
people
you.
That are just people like you.
And they hate you.
And they hate you.
Yeah. They hate you so much. They hate your families. They hate your children. They hate your freedom. They hate that you have liberty.
They hate that there's so many of you.
They hate
Kamala
that
Harris
so many.
Wants to reduce the population.
They're trying to kill you.
Yeah.
They tried to kill most of you just a couple years ago, and so easily you've forgotten. They hate you so much they don't want you to go to church. They don't want you to go to the park. They don't want you to have a small business. They don't want you to do anything they cannot control. They hate you so goddamn much. And some of you work for them, gladfully, willingly, happily.
And they're
you
process,
take their
yeah.
money, you take their payoffs, you take their buy-offs, you follow their rules, you pay their taxes, and then you fly your fucking don't tread on me flag while they laugh in your fucking face.
And become millionaires.
And you put your children in their schools where they teach transgenderism. And you serve in their militaries where they're perfectly openly supporting transgenderism and a weakening of a nation from within. And then you fly your fucking flags and pretend like you understand liberty.
And have trouble with the Amish.
And you think
who aren't bothering anybody.
You think they're wrong because they're just eating meat from their own land that they are helping to grow. Oh, you mean they're growing crops on their land, and then the animals are eating the crops, and then they're eating the animals. And you think that the government should own that? Are you a fucking Virginia governor from the early 1600s? Who the fuck are you to come onto my motherfucking land and say what I fucking can and can't do with the things that are on my land? Go fuck yourself, Prince John. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, there's historically, there's been all kinds of, it's funny because people will watch, like, they'll watch Robin Hood and they'll be like, yeah, you can't punish that boy for killing that deer. He was just trying to feed his family. And then modern days are like, you can't fucking touch the deer. That's against the law. And you're like, dude, are you fucking a real person? Are you really a fucking real person? You serious?
Yeah.
Did that shit just come out of your fucking mouth at the same time? Dude. All right, here's a news story that's also positive news for Dave. A Phoenix woman died after her power was cut over a $51 debt. That's not the positive part.
I was going to say, we have a different definition of positive.
But this forced utilities to change. This is a great news story here, okay? Stephanie Pullman died on a sweltering Arizona day after her electricity was cut off because of a $51 unpaid debt. 5 years later, the 72-year-old story remains at the heart of efforts to prevent others in Arizona from having their power cut off. Now, here's the positive part. There's a lot of organizations getting together, including local police departments, that help to deliver and even install mobile air conditioning units for elderly people who may be on fixed incomes and can't provide all of the money needed to keep their electricity going in times where Arizona is 115, 120 degrees.
I'm confused.
That's positive.
Aren't these units they're delivering running on electricity?
Yeah.
And the electricity got shut off for
It's okay. The government's doing it. Like I said, the police departments and the local governments are helping. They're helping, Dave.
They're giving you this is positive air conditioner news, that Dave. Runs on electricity that you can't
pay
for.
Yeah, you can't pay
your
electricity bill, but they're bringing you air conditioning units that run on electricity. That way you don't get so hot. This is a government solution at its finest. I see you have no electricity. Allow me to provide you with an electrical air conditioner. Government at its finest, man.
Did you see where Biden's trying to eliminate gas generators?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they're done with the gas stoves. Now they're after gas. The gas stoves thing didn't go very well for them. Now they're after gas generators. We don't want you to have no generators. They're bad for the environment and stuff.
We don't want you to be able to handle it when we shut your electricity off.
If we turn your electricity off, we need you to die, motherfuckers. We can't have you guys powering it back up. Jesus Christ. You guys are fucking with our system to kill half y'all. Fucking morons. Anyone who thinks the government is good. I'm sorry. If you work for the government, will you stop listening to my fucking show? Jesus fuck.
Because you're just, yeah.
You're just part of the fucking motherfucking problem, dude. Yeah. It's okay. I work for a good part of the government. Okay. Okay. Okay, Prince John, whatever you fucking think. Still work for the crown, dude.
Oh, that includes, God. Hey, if you're a police officer, you work for the government. You're a firefighter, you work for the government.
Y'all work
you're
for the
teacher,
same motherfucking government.
You work for the government.
Same motherfucking government. And you laugh about, oh, God, all these inefficiencies, but not my, nope, it's the same fucking shit. But not at my, nope. It is the same shit.
Yep.
If you don't see that, I don't know how to make you see it. The government fucking hates you. There's nothing that they do that is in your best interest. Not a thing. Not a single fucking thing that they do that's in your best interest. And if it appears to be in your best interest, it's because there's an ulterior motive.
That you're
using
it
to fuck you. And if you don't think, especially after COVID, like I can't believe that anybody still, I can't believe we even still are under the same dictatorship after COVID. I can't believe that didn't piss people off enough.
I can't believe how many people
when
I still
see
wearing masks.
When people went to a city park alone, outside, and got the cops called on them, and then went, okay, I'll go back to my house. Massive, massive amounts of myocarditis currently being reported in the military. Numbers up by exponential amounts. Shockingly.
Pure coincidence, by the way.
Totally coincidental to the fact that the majority of military personnel are vaccinated. I'm sure there's not a fucking correlation there.
You know who isn't suffering from myocarditis?
Me.
All the people they kicked out of the military.
Yeah. Dave.
For not taking.
Drew. All the other people who didn't get fucking vaccinated.
Yeah.
I know people who left careers. And so when people are like, but my bills. Okay. I know men and women who sacrificed their entire careers so that they didn't have to do something they didn't believe in.
And
because that's what it was fucking worth.
People are dying.
That is the cost, dudes and dudettes. That is the fucking cost.
Yep.
I'm sure it wasn't sacrificial for any of the founding fathers to do anything they did. Have you ever read the history? Here's a homework assignment for you guys. No shit homework assignment. There are plenty of websites you could easily Google this and in one page read
or YouTube videos.
The history you could of watch. Every man who signed the Declaration of Independence and what happened to him afterwards and what happened to his family afterwards. Go ahead. Read it. Read what it cost, what it really fucking cost. These were not rich white men, all slave owners and all the bullshit that the fucking government and the public school system would have you believe. That it's all these, oh, they were all just rich white men, slave owning rapists, and all they want to do is tarnish those guys' names so that everyone believes they're such horrible people. You go ahead and you fucking read about what it cost these men. Read what it cost them.
And what they were fighting for.
And then tell me that, oh, you couldn't transfer jobs because it was too much of a fucking sacrifice. I don't know, man. Before this turns into a full-blown rant, we better move on. Red wire gear moment. Sharpen your knife. Your knife is dull. Sharpen it. Whatever that is. You should have a pocket knife. You're a real man with a penis that hangs down the middle, two balls on each side, or at least one. All right, depending on what happened to you in your life, I suppose. You should have a pocket knife in your pocket. The end. Sharpen it. Because fucking probably dull because you've been opening dumb boxes and cutting rope and shit like that with it. So sharpen your knife. If you have a knife on your cool guy plate carrier kit, sharpen it. It needs to be sharpened. Your kitchen knives, they need to be sharpened. Sharpen them. Your fishing knife, it needs to be sharpened. Sharpen it. Go sharpen your knife. Sharpen all your knives. Get a good sharpening system and sharpen your knives. Keep them clean. Keep them oil.
One of our colleagues, Daryl, posted a very informative video on the
Independence Training
website. Or excuse me, Instagram.
Instagram, yeah.
Yeah. About how to do that very thing, the right stones to use, all that kind of good stuff. So you can look that up and have some great information to get that done.
Yeah. So, Red Wire Gear moment brought to you by RedWireGear.com. Today's topic, I don't know, kind of sort of like in the vein of things that we're talking about lately, living a life of purpose and how not to get lost in the shuffle. And I'm talking about the shuffle of life. It's really easy to do the pay bills and die concept. It's really easy to just go, man, I just get up every morning. I go to work. I pay bills. And then one day I die. It's easy to get lost in that shuffle. And I will tell you this. And this is, well, it's another hard thing to stomach. Some of my favorite messages that come to me on emails and stuff is when listeners email us and go, man, shit you said really fucking hit me hard, and I was starting to get pissed until I really thought about what you were talking about. There's a lot of – you want to talk about the quote-unquote inconvenient truth? That doesn't have anything to do with climate change, my friends. It has everything to do with how we're living our lives. We are not living how free men and women were meant to live. Your life is not to pay bills and die, and if that is what you are doing, stop it and find more purpose. If you are living from paycheck to paycheck, stop it and find more purpose. If you think your whole life is to get to that 20-year mark or that 25-year mark so you can retire and do what after you just spent 20 or 25 years doing something, stop doing that. Stop living for the future. Stop living for that end date. Stop living for a year or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years from now. Oh, I can't wait till my kids move out. Then I can really do what? You won't do a goddamn fucking thing. You'll do the same fucking shit you do now. Why do you think that in the future your life will change? If you're doing nothing now, you will not start suddenly doing something later. Find purpose now so that you'll have purpose later. There's a system that has been designed by this evil government that hates you, as I've been discussing already today. And that system is this. It is to keep you beholden to the system. Get up in the morning. Drink this coffee. Gotta have coffee. Gotta have some stimulant. You're told all your life you need stimulant. And look, I am a coffee drinker. I don't need coffee. I go days without coffee and I'm fine with it. I like coffee. I enjoy drinking coffee. I do not need coffee to survive. There are some days coffee damn sure helps.
It's Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday was a good example. When you have to teach an entire class on 2.5 hours of sleep, coffee's helpful. Yeah, I think I drink like a gallon. But the point being is life, ads, marketing has convinced you. Social media has convinced you. sitcoms and TV shows and movies have convinced you, got to have coffee to survive, got to have some kind of stimulant in the morning, tobacco, whatever it is. Stimulate yourself because you stayed up late or you're working so hard. Why are you working so fucking hard? Is it because you're trying to buy something new so you're saving up your money so you can go on an awesome vacation? That's worth it. Is it because you're just trying to pay those bills? That's not worth it. You need to find good purpose in your life other than that. And people are convinced, man, they work that 9 to 5. They get up in the morning, kiss the wife, put the kids on the school bus, go to work for some nameless, faceless corporation that doesn't give a fuck about them. Come home. Wife comes home at some point from her job. Kids come home from their government brainwashing. You get a couple hours with them before it's bedtime. And then you go out on the porch and smoke your cigarette or cigar or drink your whiskey or your wine or whatever it is you do, stare at the stars, wonder what death is like, go to fucking sleep, wake up, and do it all over again. So you can get to the weekend, working for the weekend, man. And then that weekend, you're going to go crazy. You're going to do the same motherfucking thing you did last weekend.
Drink your depressing life into oblivion.
Hang out with my buddies and drink. We're going to go over such and such friend's house for a barbecue and just rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. You think that's a fucking life? That is an ant. That is a bug. That is an insect. Even they may have more exciting lives than that. Some of them turn into butterflies and shit. Like, if you're just doing the same old fucking shit, that's not particularly fucking exciting. That is not a life with purpose. And I know that this hits people and they're like, but dude, but I got no other way. Who said that? Who told you that? Kick them in the fucking head. Who told you this is the only way to live? Who told you this is it? Who told you you can't own your own business? Who told you you can't live a better life? Who told you you have to make so much money? Who told you you need all this new shit? Who told you that? Fuck them. Listen to people who have purpose. Ask yourself this. Are people with purpose guiding your life? You are the sum of the 5 people you spend the most time around. Do you spend time around a bunch of good old boy 9-to-5ers living, working for the weekend? We're going to go fishing, get drunk, boys, every goddamn Saturday. Are those the people you're around? Then that's who you're going to fucking be. You are the sum of the 5 people you spend the most time around. Are you getting your advice from people with purpose? Because there's a lot of people who are like, well, damn, man, look at me. I've been doing this for 37 years. I'm happy as fucking can be, man. Look at me. I live my life. I love it. Look at what I do. I love this. I love that 9-to-5. I love working for the weekend. Okay, cool, man. That's great. Not all of us can be different. That's okay. Some of us have to be the worker drones. I get it. I have no problem with that. And if that's what you truly want, if that is your desired purpose, then do that. Go fall in line with that. But if you want a better life of purpose, what are you waiting for? So the first thing I think you have to do, and this is why I believe most men are depressed, because they don't build anything. They don't build anything. Men I know who build things are less depressed. So here's my suggestion. Here's my challenge to you guys. Build a thing. I don't care what it is. Google how to build a catapult. Go down to Home Depot. Get some 2x4s. A couple heavy cement blocks. Some appropriate metal piping and washers and nuts and bolts, and build a motherfucking catapult.
In your front yard.
And then catapult shit. Don't damage anything. Don't hurt anybody. Or do. I don't care. But it's you. You got to live your own life. Build a fucking catapult. Do it. Do it, and at the end, tell me it's not one of the raddest fucking things you ever did with your life. And you need basic tools and basic supplies with some basic plans off the internet to build a little tiny catapult to a big motherfucking catapult, depending on how much room you have. You can launch things across your backyard or launch things across your fucking neighborhood or launch things across acreage if you want. Build a catapult. And when you're done, if it's not one of the coolest things you've ever done, email me and say you were wrong. I expect 0 emails. It's motherfucking awesome to build a catapult. Fucking do it. Build a catapult. Or build a shed. Or build something useful that you need. Has your wife been wanting a little raised garden bed? Go build it.
Or a chicken coop.
She wanted a chicken coop? Go build it. Have you wanted something like, man, I wish I had to build that? Build it. Don't want to do that? Build this. Go to a store, craft store. Get a model. Model airplane. Model truck, model speed car, model boat. I don't care. That's more your style. Build that. Build something that starts from nothing and turns into something. Starts with a box of tiny little plastic gray pieces and ends painted badass little fucking A-10 fighter jet. Assault plane. Do that. Do something cool. Build a thing. Build a thing that starts from nothing and turns into something. Redo a whole fucking engine. Is that your style? Okay. Get a little hobby engine. Buy a little crate motor. They're not that expensive. And just build a motor. You don't even have to put it in a fucking car. Just build one. Build an engine. It's incredible. You can literally get a crate engine in a box of parts and build an engine. You don't even have to put it in a vehicle. You don't have to hook it up to anything. Just build the engine. If that's your jam, then do that. Do you like to weld? Build something. Build a cool piece of artwork. Build a windmill. Build a set of chimes for your wife or your significant other or your mom. Build something cool for yourself. Build a new target hanger for yourself so you can go out and have something cool to shoot. Build a thing. Build a new bumper for your truck. See if you can do that. Build shit. Go build something. Create. It's what men have been doing since the dawn of time and has been robbed from us. Because now if you need something, what do? You buy it.
You pay someone else to build it.
I pay other men to build my things now. Oh, I need this. I pay someone to build it. Sometimes that's necessary. Like I'm working on a project right now. I'm probably going to end up having to pay someone to do. Because I'm starting to hit like my time capacity. You know, it's like I don't have enough time to do this project. So I'm going to have to pay someone. That's okay. I don't mind doing it sometimes.
Or you just don't. There's sometimes you just don't have the skill set.
But like I'm still building other shit.
Yep.
Build stuff. Build something for yourself or someone you love. I don't care what it is. Build something. That is the first thing I think you need to do. You want to live a life of purpose? Start creating. Start building. You'll be amazed how happy you are. I can tell you guys from my personal experience, I love building stuff out of wood. Not a craftsman. I'm not like a wood maker. I can't build a nice piece of furniture, but I love building sheds, building chicken coops, building. I recently built a castle in our backyard for the kids. It's badass, dude. It's got two stories, this drawbridge, got a secret trap door. I didn't have to have a lot of skills or a lot of tools. Didn't cost that much, but it's a badass cool play castle. Now they're going to paint it to look like a castle and it's going to be awesome. I love building that kind of stuff because I can stand back and go, I took a pile of nothing and made that. Build something. My take on things.
Of course, I'm coming from a different perspective.
Fire away.
I think the first thing I would recommend for anyone to do is to define purpose. Mm. What does that mean to live a life of purpose? And I think you can't answer that question legitimately or with any kind of significance without discovering and accepting some kind of intelligent design. If, for example, I believe in no life after this, if I believe that there is no God, that we are just a random bunch of cells that happen to come together, well, then I can't help you. I just don't believe there is a purpose for that. I think you just live and you die and you cease to exist and that whole process just continues and it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I believed that, I might very well live for myself and live for the pleasure and live in existence. So I think that's the first part is you got to do some soul searching. You got to do some research. And for those who, as myself, believe in a creator, then my next question is, okay, well, if I'm created by an intelligent being who created an entire universe, which I haven't yet done, then I'm guessing that there's a purpose for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the way I define that purpose or find that purpose is to be a child and go through my youthful years and start to pay attention to the things I love doing. And I think part of being a kid, growing into a teenager, growing into an adult, is to figure out what that is. What do I love? What am I passionate about? And I think so many people don't, because we get into this preconceived, preset way of life. You have to go to school and get good grades. You have to go to our school. You have to go to the institution and get good grades. Then you have to go to college and get a degree so you can go get a job, so you can go buy a house, so you can then have a wife and family and raise your kids and then someday retire and start enjoying your life. Mm. And that's how I was raised. And that's exactly how I made decisions for the young part of my life, not realizing what I'm, what I now teach all of the people that I teach. And that is, I do believe 100% you were born with very specific, very unique gifts, talents, personality traits, characteristics that make you unique. And I think part of the joy of life is discovering what those are. And then once you discover what those are, you must develop those into skills. We all know people that have had tons of raw talent and ability and did nothing with it. I think once you start developing those skills, you know, whether you even realize you're doing it or not, it's like, I just love doing this, so I'm going to keep doing it, and I'm going to get better at it as I do it. Or you do recognize that, no, I love this, and I'm going to develop this consciously as a skill. I think the true joy at that point still hasn't hit. I don't think the purpose has even hit yet. I think once that skill or skills has reached a point where you can now serve other people with it, I think that's where the real joy is. Mm. I don't know. The only other person I know that works as hard as I do is Glenn. And one of the things I can relate to with Glenn, we never probably ever had this discussion, is that I know no matter how tired we are, no matter how much is going on in the week, whatever stresses that exist in our lives, when we step on the mat, we step on the range, we become the servant. Mm. And everything else in our life goes away, because we commit 100% of ourselves to that moment, to those clients, to those students. And that is literally living out our purpose. And there is no exhaustion to that. There is no, I'm too tired to do it. My life is crazy, ridiculously busy, and I love every minute of it, because I truly believe I'm living what I was born to do. And I don't want to retire. I have no plans to retire. I want to die doing what I love. I want to be completely spent. It's part of the reason why I keep myself physically fit, so that I can keep living out my purpose and die doing that. And yes, enjoy all the other things along the way. But my driving force is 100% what I believe. I truly believe I'm doing what I was born to do. And I fell into this, not with independence, but just in general, discovering this, because all of this came to me, or I was doing all of these things before I ever investigated, truly sought and researched my creator and what that all meant to me. And then when I did all of that, and I discovered, okay, yeah, this is what I now believe, all of a sudden so there's a couple of things I like to recommend for people who are on that place where, like, well, I'd love to live out my purpose, but I have no idea what that is. My son, who's 19, is in that place. He doesn't know what he wants to do, has no idea. And so I had him sit down and take a Myers-Briggs test. Mm-hmm. It's a personality test. It just asks you a whole bunch of questions, maybe 100 questions, that you just answer. You know, first answer is the one I'm going with, kind of just off the cuff. And it starts to lead you in a direction of looking at certain careers or certain tasks or skills that might fit you based on your personality, because you really have a passion or a love or an emphasis towards a certain thing. And so he did that. And I had him take, a spiritual gifts test, which is I don't know if other belief systems have it, but in Christianity we have a spiritual gifts test, because the Bible tells us that we are born with certain spiritual gifts that we are to share with the world. And I had him take that test as well, and it was enlightening to see how that came back. Mm. I did these things because these were the things that got me on the path to make me realize what I was already doing. So I started in martial arts. I started teaching, and I was already a teacher. And then when I became a Christian, I took a spiritual gifts test. And not surprisingly, my first top of the list was teaching. That was my spiritual gift. And it just simply confirmed what God had already been leading me into and just proved that I was, again, reaffirming that I was doing exactly what I was called to do, what I was built to do. Mm. And since that time, I've looked at my life as incredibly blessed because I see so many people who have not discovered what that is. Or they've discovered it, but they're too afraid to chase it. Too many risks, too many sacrifices, or any number of the other excuses we can use to not live a fulfilling life. I also think that a man living his best life, his most fulfilled, his life of purpose, is very attractive to the woman who's supposed to be helping him do that. I think that's and it also gives you a lot of motivation in all the other areas of your life. We talk about fat shaming all the time. I don't stay in shape because I care about anymore how I look.
there was a time.
But now it's totally about function. Mm. I want to keep running with the PJs. I want to keep going out in the range, in the middle of July, and
be able to hang.
Yeah. Mm. And all of those things because of the difference that we're making. So it's one of the things that I think I just love about independence is that it's the mindset I've always had. It's just another area in which I can be that person who's making it. Because in the bottom line, we've talked about this on the show and off the show. I care about empowering lives in a positive way, make a difference in other people's lives. And that's what we do at Premier, and that's what we do at Independence. And that, to me, is a purpose. A life of purpose.
It's interesting because listen to the perspective you're coming from, where you're looking at it kind of from a different angle. My four things I had on my life of purpose were: one, build something; two, grow yourself; three, positively impact those around you; and four, create a legacy for the future. So, especially with men, grow yourself. Look at yourself right now, just like Dave was just talking about. Look at yourself right now and say, what am I doing to improve myself? So the first thing I wanted to talk about there was building something, right? So what am I building right now? The second thing I want to talk about is, okay, so what am I doing to grow myself? What am I doing to make myself a better person? Am I reading good books? Am I hanging out with positive people who are reinforcing me? Am I managing my finances better? Am I working on my physical fitness? Am I trying to get a better job that's more fulfilling, that serves my purpose better? What am I doing to improve myself? It is so easy to get stuck in the shuffle of day to day, like I'm just doing the same thing day in and day out. And I'll tell you where most people feel like they're growing themselves is making more money.
Yep.
And that is the wrong place to find purpose. If your purpose is growing and making more money, and I understand that money helps you buy things, this is obviously acutely aware. I'm acutely aware of that. But here's the problem with just focusing on making more money. It is not the thing that's ever going to define how people see you. It does not define your worth. And remember, from a anti-government perspective, like we often have here, money is a currency note that the government is issuing you that gives you permission to own shit based on no value. So if you truly break it down to its finer points, money has no value. It's just an exchange. And normally people exchange their time, their energy, and their life so that they can quote unquote make more money. I hear people say this all the time. Mm-hmm. When I have more money, I'll start a family. When I have more money, I'll buy my own home. When I have more money, I'll take those trips. When I have more money, I'll go on vacation. You guys, I can tell you, in my life, I have had lots of money, I have had very little money, and I've had everything in between. And there's never been a time where the amount of money I had in my life determined my purpose. I started independence training with $400. I had $400 in my bank account when I started this company. We're worth now a little bit more than that. And my happiness and my purpose has never been affected by how much the company has been worth or how much work that we do. It has always been affected by my growth, by building something, by having growth, by positively impacting people around me, and by building a legacy for the future. Those are how I've determined my purpose and my happiness and my quote-unquote success has been those elements. It hasn't been how much money can I put in the bank account. So when you're looking at growing yourself, be very careful of the yardstick that you're using to measure what your growth is, because money ain't it. How many chicks you're banging, that ain't it, all right? Oh, so you're filtering through a bunch of sluts? Who can't do that? Like, that's not even a way to measure yourself. Oh, you can bang easy bitches? Who fucking cares, dude? Like, who gives a shit? Those people don't even have any value. They're barely even real human beings, so who gives a shit? That's what you're going to use to determine. Like, that's not going to determine how cool of a car you drive. Nope, that's not how you value, how you set your worth either. How badass of a truck you have or all the things you own that own you. Because the more stuff you have, the less freedom, the less free you will be.
Yep.
So don't be very careful about letting society to tell you how to dictate your purpose and your worth and your growth. So yeah, it's great to grow your business, make more money, but I use my money to do thing number three, which is positively impact the people around me. If I can positively impact the people around me, I'm a lot happier of a person. And I learned this, quite honestly, from a variety of sources in my life, all mentors who use their money to positively impact the people around them, mostly in ways that the majority of people would never know about. The people who are super flashy about it, they're shitbags. To be totally honest with you, look what I do for these people. Yeah, it's probably all you do, and you're doing it for the wrong fucking reasons. Versus someone who's just quietly in the background helping people out, using their resources, whether that's $100, $1,000, or $1 million, using their resources to positively impact the people around them. So don't get sucked into the idea of the growing yourself concept as doing anything other than to make yourself a better version of yourself to positively impact the people around you. And that should be everybody. That's your spouse. That's your kids. That's your friends. That's your family. If people are not positively impacted by you, if no one is calling you for advice, you fucked up. You fucked up big time. If you're a man and no one looks to you for advice ever, you fucked up. You're not leading a life of purpose. Because other people, like Dave said, are attracted to people who have purpose. And they want to come to you because you have purpose. And they want to know how you got it. And they want to know what your purpose is so they can have purpose. And they may not be asking you what's purpose, but they're going, hey, man, I'm really struggling with this relationship problem. Can you help me out? Because they're just assuming you have the answers since you have purpose. If you're not attracting, and anybody has the power to do this. Anybody has the power to be somebody that has enough purpose that other people come to them for advice and go, and it may be advice on 1,000 different things. Maybe they're asking for advice on how best to mow your lawn. I don't care. But if people aren't seeing that you have some purpose in life, then no one's going to ever ask you for help. If no one's asking you ever for help, no one's ever asking you for advice, no one's ever come to you like, man, like the greatest compliments that people give me is when on a personal level, they ask me for my opinion. They ask me for my advice. They hit me up with a message, hey, dude, can I get a call with you? I'm having a problem in my life and I want to get your input. That's the greatest compliment anyone can give me because that means that they look at me as someone who's not a total fucking idiot. I'm not a total soup sandwich. I'm not totally fucked up. And it really helps me see how I'm growing myself because I haven't always been that. You know, so that's that positively impacting people around you. And through that, then you create a legacy for the future. I'm not talking about I need a statue built somewhere. if someone built a statue of me, I wouldn't like be upset about it. All right. but seriously, like, what's my legacy for the future? Well, I'll tell you what I think part of my legacy is. It's my children. And it's the people that I've impacted through independence training. Because my hope for them is that they go on and create a life of purpose and they go on and impact people positively so that they can then create a great legacy for them. And if that started with a little tiny nugget of information from independence training, then that to me is a legacy for the future. If I just affect someone somewhere down the line positively, that's my legacy for the future. And I'm totally okay with that. I want people to look back and say, someone else, I don't even care if they remember my name, somebody else passed this along to somebody else who passed it along to me, and this is positively impacting my life. I don't care if they know where it came from, as long as it gets to them. So creating a legacy. Every man wants to leave a legacy. What man wants to just die and be forgotten? No man truly. If you're depressed and you're sad, I'll just die and no one will remember me. That's a very shit. They're not understanding anything we're talking about if that's how you think of things. No man I know that I spend time with, my five people, none of them are okay with dying and being forgotten. Because that's the whole concept, right? They say you die twice. Once when you die and the second time, the last time someone mentions your name. Like when you are truly forgotten, it's because you had no positive impact on the future. No one remembered what you did because it wasn't worth remembering. Don't be that guy. Build something, grow yourself, positively impact the people around you and create a legacy for the future. Anyone has this capability.
I might take that a little bit different direction as well, simply because I – so I had an experience early on in my martial arts career where I worked for a guy who was all about legacy. As a matter of fact, his LLC was called Legacy. And what I noticed was the legacy was all about him. It was his name on the building. It was his name on everything. And it was all about building a legacy of his name. And it started to become something that I was like, this is a really self-centered kind of a legacy. He's wanting to prop up his name instead of the value he can provide to other people. Because of my faith and because I believe there is a life after this, one of the things my faith tells me is that while I'm on this earth, I'm building up treasure in heaven. And so that is my driving force. My driving force is because I'm going to have to stand before God one day. And what I want him to say to me is, well done, good and faithful servant. And so that is my driving force in this life. Not that I'm trying to live up to something, because I happen to believe that I am already accepted, already victorious, already part of the family. But I want to honor that family and that legacy by living my best life and my best purpose and serving other people the best way I can. And that's where I get my joy. You know, we're planning a trip away, some of the guys to go on a fishing and camping trip. And I'm doing it, I'm forcing it to happen, more because I know it's good for us, not because I'm super thrilled about going. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to have a good time. But I'm also – there's like this low level, we could be doing other things. We could be teaching other classes.
Sure.
We could be doing these, you know. And so as weird as it is, sometimes it's even hard to take a vacation. When you're spending time with the kids, you're like, I could be doing this other thing. Or, you know, spending time with Drew, I could be doing this other thing. It's – people like what I – and again, I'm speaking for Glenn in a sense, but people like us, we always have that low-level mission at heart and a sense of urgency that I got to get to the next thing. I haven't done enough yet. And I'm a big fan of what you said about growing myself. I look at that in my world as skills. What's the next skill that I have? Because do I have something to offer someone? Do I have the knowledge? Do I have the skill? Do I have the experience for the next question I'm going to get from that next student? And you know, how do I keep ahead of all of my clients and students while I keep training? I would be thrilled if a student client came up to me and said, have you taught me everything you know? And I have to say, yeah. Mm. Because they would have had to outwork me and out-sacrifice me and out-invest me. And I would be like, that is fantastic. Let me put you onto someone else because you have just surpassed me. I've never had that happen in my life, and I live my life in such a way that it never will, in my opinion. But it's just a drive. It's a drive at the heart level for this life and also for the next. So I would definitely encourage you to get right with a faith, to figure out what you believe. And because I think that's the foundation. Without that, I think purpose is ether. It's whatever I decide it is, and that's nothing if in the end I just die. Because even if I leave a legacy, well, it's going to die eventually anyway, so What did I do all that for? If not for something greater than this.
You know, it's last thing I'll say about this before we wrap up is over the years, especially on the show, you know, people have heard my take on faith and religion and things like that. I poo-poo it quite a bit, mostly religion because I don't believe in organized religion. But when it comes to faith, I do want to make something relatively clear here in, you know, 30 seconds, which is I do believe that there is a creator, and I do believe that there is life after this life. Otherwise, this life would be purposeless and pointless, and growing something would be lame and pathetic, and I wouldn't be able to positively impact people for the real long run. So with that in mind, I drive purpose. And like Dave was saying, our mission, our purpose that we have discovered, it calls to me all day, every day. There is no doubt what I need to be doing. And no, it's not just teaching people how to shoot. That's not the purpose that we're talking about. It goes way, way beyond that. So find your purpose. Live a life of purpose and meaningful existence. You are greater than you let yourself be.
Be Steve Martin. Remember The Jerk?
I've finally found my purpose.
Found my purpose.
Sorry.
All right, you guys. Let's see. What do we got? Hold on. I gotta scroll around. Independence training moment. What did we do this past week to better prepare any of the four zones for an emergency? Dave, go.
So I had the privilege of hanging out with two guys that I have a lot of respect for. Joe, who runs Vivint, which is alarm, home security, all that kind of thing. I saw him on Friday, and he's going to come out and he's going to do some amazing things at my house to lock everything in. And I fully expect that once it's done, I'm going to be giving him rave reviews. He's a client of ours. He comes and trains with us. He's also done work at Glenn's house. And we have he's super dialed in this area. And so I'm excited about that. And then also I got a chance to spend some time with Mark Williams, who runs Pro Tent. And I talked to him specifically about ballistic film, and just so nobody comes back, I'm not saying bulletproof film. Mm-hmm. I'm talking ballistic from impact resistant. And so he's, you know, I'm working with him to get some ballistic film on the windows of my house as well. Basically just to give me that extra 15 to 30 seconds while they're trying to get in for me to choose which weapon I would like to introduce to them. So anyway, those two things just to kind of fortify my home a little bit with two guys I 100% trust a bunch. So I'll be definitely giving back to you guys with how that all goes and some recommendations, how to get a hold of these guys So you can do the same thing in your house.
Having used Mark for years for tinting and security film here at the office, at our home, on my vehicles, I can tell you guys I can't recommend his services enough. If you're in Arizona, he's awesome. And Joe has proven to be an absolute wealth of knowledge for home security. So he's incredible. Independence Training Moment brought to you by TrainingAZ.com. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email, info@TrainingAZ.com. We're happy to tell you how to get us out into your area so that if you're offended by us, we can offend you in person, straight to your face. I have no problem doing that. All right, follow us on Instagram and Facebook as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Red Wire Gear, MRC Phoenix, our running club, PMA, or Premier Martial Arts Scottsdale, and PMA Peoria. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. We love our network and the people who run it. They are phenomenal human beings. And if you've never looked into the network that runs the show, please make sure you check out the Heroes Media Group. Next week, we're going to have an in-studio guest. We're going to be talking with physical therapist Kyle, who has seen me without my pants on, about healthy living and maintaining joint use.
I haven't even seen you without your pants on.
Almost everyone has seen me. I am not a shy guy at all. All right. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.